Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
and Lauren Rude.
Speak what you seek until you see what you've said. That's the latest from Telvin Smith's Instagram. That's what we've been reduced to figure out what the linebacker is
Can
up
I
to.
That?
After making hit the announcement via Instagram that we've all been talking about that he will sit out the year. We will discuss whether or not we think this is a good move for him and what the reasons might be. But we want to tell you guys, Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is on location this evening. Whoop, whoop. We are back at Mr. Chubby's, but this time on the west side. Tuesday is the place to be at Mr. Chubby's, and we'll tell you about that in just a little bit. The saga continues. I am not one usually to, like, and I use the term stalk lightly, but really plug into what guys are doing on social media, athletes and things. Occasionally I'll check it out, but I find myself checking to see the latest from Telvin Smith. Am I alone in that?
Well, his Instagram is private, and I am used to follow him, but I don't anymore.
I only do it because I'm on the 1010XL, and he accepted, or apparently we were able to get in before he made it private. So I'm able to switch over to look at the latest.
Yeah, so I can't see the Instagram. I had been searching Twitter, and I don't know, did y'all see that he retweeted a tweet on Saturday that I found interesting? A lot of people have been talking about the Instagram post, but I hadn't heard really anyone talking about the tweet that he retweeted. And again, I found it fascinating. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the Frangie show, but I will read to you this tweet that Brett Coleman, who works for, he's a draft and film analyst. He works for SB Nation. There we go. So I'd never heard of him, but Telvin decided that this was a tweet worthy. He had not tweeted since January 1st. This was a tweet worthy of retweeting. I also want to make one more point about the Telvin Smith situation, how inspiring it is, because Brett had been tweeting about it. Work culture in America is often toxic, and people feel like they can't take days off. Your mental health is important. If this young man can walk away from millions, you can. Hashtag take a day. So that was the first time that I felt like Telvin gave us a little bit of maybe insight into what's going on, and that is that he mentally needs to take time away from the NFL and from football.
Well, when he made the original announcement, he didn't do it in a cryptic video like he had the time before. He put out this statement, and I think everybody at this point has either read it or listened to someone talk about it here on 1010XL. But I think he gained some empathy and sympathy from fans and thought, you know what, we've all kind of had tough times before. Maybe he's trying to sort things out. And then he took back to Instagram, decided to go the video route again, and left people kind of confused with this clip.
Bro, why is it so crazy that I want to step away from the game? Y'all just chill. Everything's solid. You feel me? Stop going crazy. It's getting aggravating. You feel me? Football ain't everything. Y'all better wake the f*** up.
There you go. You better wake up. Because football ain't everything. Donna, when you heard that, what, if anything, did that make you think about the current situation with Telvin?
I think it more just solidified that something is not correct mentally. I think he needs to fix something. I think what bothers him more isn't people questioning why, which is what he said, why are you all questioning me? I think it's more about the people that maybe are throwing out any disrespect or how dare you, you know, leave your teammates high and dry. Like anything like that, I think is what may be bothering him. But if something is mentally off right now, I think any kind of criticism is going to hinder that and just make it even that much worse.
Well, and we can't pretend to know what exactly is going on,
right?
Obviously, but obviously the question we keep coming back to is, you have the wherewithal to be making videos and creating these posts and reading social media, monitoring what people are saying about you. So why don't you have the wherewithal to at least reach out to head coach Doug Marrone and in three sentences explain what's going on? And then that way the team understands and can try and help you. And even if no help is desired from Telvin,
right,
at least they understand what's going on.
Is he obligated to be forthcoming with his employer? Because, listen, I try to put myself in a situation that is probably not even close to fair in the sense of we put athletes on this scale and we expect things from them, but would we do that ourselves? If you were struggling with something personally, and would you be open with your employer, or would you just say, hey, I need some time off and leave it at that?
I would absolutely tell my employer.
Yeah, I would.
You would get into the nitty-gritty of what was going on?
Well, nitty-gritty maybe not, but let's say I was struggling with, and I'll take depression. Let's say I was struggling with that. I think I would say, look, I'm going through a phase right now where it's hard for me to wake up every day, and I'm going to need some counseling, and then I'll be back in contact when I feel like I'm much more stable, healthy, and ready to come back into the workplace. But I think my employer deserves to know, because they need to know, what is the time frame of this?
Yeah.
And how can we help
and
you?
He said,
that's the other thing.
Well, and he's come out and given the time frame and said, I'm done for the year. But if, as far as we know, he hasn't provided any kind of information. And because this topic can be so sensitive, and I've heard it discussed from the drill to the sports den regarding what it is, what it could be, the different rumors that go on with it. It's really a sticky situation. And I don't know that anybody really knows how to talk about it, because if it is something mentally mm-hmm. going on that he's struggling with, whether it's depression or anxiety or whatever it happens to be, that is not always easy for people to talk about. If it's something I'm running the gamut here on all the options. If it's something substance abuse wise, and he's getting out in front of that, maybe that's part of it as well. Not something easy that you just want to throw out and make assumptions about and make claims on if you really don't know. So I don't know that anybody really knows how to talk about this subject, because it's so unclear and there's so many rumors floating around.
Well, yeah, for us, we can't, because the Jaguars had to come out with a statement that says, we would like to be able to help Telvin, but we haven't heard from him. That's, to me, the only thing that I would advise him to do, just as someone who works for someone who has expectations on what I do and how committed I am. If they owe him $9.75 million. The least he can do is explain to them what's going on, and then maybe, again, they can help him. You don't know, because we don't know what's going on, we don't know how to help him. And
right.
More importantly, they don't know how to help him. They have an endless amount of people that they could put
resources
into his life
and
resources
sure.
that the average person doesn't have. So why not at least open yourself up, and if those don't work or if you don't like any of their ideas, at least you have the information and the tools. It feels like maybe Telvin has isolated himself. I know you can hear a voice in the background of the video that we just played, but it almost feels to me like he's isolated himself into maybe a very small group of people, to where he's no longer accepting advice from people with clear thinking minds.
I mean, does it almost make a lot of sense to tie in, you know, that we all know the emotional speech he made at Puz's
retirement,
and with him not playing the best last year because Puzlesny wasn't there? And do you think maybe it hurts too much? Something's not, like, he can't step foot in here if his teammates don't have his side. Like, the locker room we know wasn't good last year. Do you think it's something just as simple as that? Like, I don't want to go back there because my head's not straight when I walk in those doors.
I don't know that his teammates don't have his back. And again, I'm just basing this off of the response I've seen on Instagram, because there are a lot of his teammates who responded very positively when he made the announcement that he was going to step away. So I can't answer that question, because I have no idea what that's like, but just based on what I've seen them say, Jalen Ramsey, a lot of those guys come out and say, hey, you do what you got to do. We understand. Take care. It's all positive affirmations. It's just one of those situations that it puts the Jaguars back in the news again. That's like, is this kind of been a train wreck of an offseason a little bit? I mean, there haven't been any injuries yet, knock on wood. And the draft worked out in their favor. But from Tom getting up at the state of the franchise saying these guys need to be here, and I don't care if it's voluntary or not, in so many words, to the current situation with Telvin Smith, and then some uncertainty with some offensive pieces and still kind of looking for a tight end. They're in the news not for like, hey, they picked up Nick Foles and everything's going to be okay, and this could be the opportunity to make a run in the playoffs. So every time we turn around, I feel like there's some kind of distraction that pops up.
I mean, certainly this is could be or should be classified as a distraction. I wonder, Telvin Smith was paid a lot of money and then didn't have a very good season. And from what Hayes has said, because Hayes is our 1010XL Jaguars beat reporter, he goes in the locker room after every single game. He said that Telvin was a lot different after being paid the contract. So I think there's a lot in there, whether it's losing Poznanski, not playing well, being paid a lot of money more than you probably ever thought you'd make as a fifth-round selection overall. So I definitely think this is a distraction. I don't think this is something that should necessarily drastically change the season. He's an important piece on that defense, but if he had another bad year, he wasn't going to be playing. Quincy Williams, who was drafted with the second pick in the third round, was drafted, I think, to take over that role, that weak side linebacker role, if in the event either Telvin gets hurt or Telvin wasn't here, and obviously they kind of had an idea Telvin might not be here, with Dave Caldwell saying, we'll see, and I don't want to talk in hypotheticals. So I don't know that this, as far as the negative cycle, there have been things, but I don't know that this is one that, oh my gosh, this is the reason that the Jaguars are not going to make it to the postseason.
No. And again, it's just more every couple of weeks there tends to be something that pops up that's like, is everything running the way they would like it to be up there? I mean, Tom didn't want to talk about Telvin at all during the draft, and even throughout, you can come by my office anytime to talk about him, which we all know is not an actual invite. Don't expect to get the invite in your email box anytime soon. So something to keep an eye on, and it also just adds to the dynamic and this idea of having this insight to these guys' personal lives because of social media. I mean, before social media, we talked about this last week. It feels like we talk about it every week. Because of things like Instagram and Twitter, we're able to see whatever they'll show us.
Sure. And they're smart if they're like Yannick Ngakoue, who is constantly posting videos and tweeting positive things out of him working out and the things that he believes in. That's, I think, the best way to do it is show people that you are 100% committed to this, to your line of work, which is playing football, and to this team and to this franchise. I think he goes about it the right way. There are other guys that maybe I don't necessarily agree. I wouldn't post like they post, like the Jalen Ramseys and the Leonard Fournettes, with whether it be money or I need a private chef. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's not my preference. But I understand they're young men with a lot of money, and I've never been in that situation.
Now, did you have a problem with the way Yannick put, I think he put out like a money video kind of symbolizing, hey, it's time for me to get paid? Because that doesn't really fit in the I'm working out and I'm working hard.
But
and
he was working
time.
Out in the video. And right, I get what you're saying. There are certainly the dollar bills. But
which I think we all agree he's worthy of.
Yeah, and I think that was more probably something his agent devised, in my opinion. I think it wasn't a video that he's ever done before, and it's all of a sudden at a time when everyone's talking about Yannick needs to get paid. So I do think that was something maybe the agent kind of concocted, and he was like, yeah, absolutely. I do think he deserves to get paid, so maybe that's why I am going along with it. Guys that miss time like Leonard Fournette maybe don't be, you know, posting like the club parties and this and that. That's just, again, I want you to be 100% focused. I don't get to make those choices for you, but to me, the best football players are the ones who are 100% focused.
That's Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy. I'm Lauren Rue. Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is live tonight at Mr. Chubby's, but this time we are at the West Side location. The exact address, if you need to write this down, 11043 Crystal Springs Road on the West Side. And Tuesdays is the place to be, or the day rather, to be at Mr. Chubby's Wings, because all you can eat wings from 6 to 10 p.m. Everybody loves all you can eat options. $3 kids meals. I see kids in here right now taking advantage of that. And then I also see some $7 domestic pitchers. That's always on Tuesdays here at Mr. Chubby's. Both locations, I believe, but the West Side is the one you should be at, because that's where we are this evening.
Yeah, once you get off I-10, or take Chafee when you get off I-10, and then you'll find Crystal Springs pretty quickly.
And everybody made it on time, and Brent made sure that we had enough enough leeway to get here before the show started, and we all walked in right before and ready to go. So we hope you'll join us. We're out here till 8 o'clock. They're open much later than that, and I know they make arrangements and adjustments to their schedule depending on what kind of games are going on and things like that. Veteran quarterbacks, do they have a responsibility to help the young guys along? We discuss that next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, Joe Flacco will be the latest Denver Bronco quarterback to try to fix what's going on in the Mile High City. They have struggled that position for quite some time now. And the Broncos also decided to test their luck in the draft and pick up Drew Locke as well, just in case. And Joe Flacco doesn't believe he owes Drew Lock anything. He says to USA Today, quote, listen, I have so many things to worry about. I'm trying to go out there and play the best football of my life. As far as a time constraint and all of that stuff, I'm not worried about developing guys or any of that. That is what it is. I hope he does well. I don't look at that as my job. My job is to go win football games for this football team. Absolutely. Why in the world would he go, you know what, I'll be happy to show Drew the ropes and maybe then he replaces me because I'm kind of toward the tail end of my career anyway. And that's exactly what I do, is want to mentor the guy and take my job away. Now, maybe there are like PC ways of doing this and saying, hey, you know what, I'll help him out when I can, but we're both competitive guys. But I don't think he has any responsibility to help the guy who's coming in there to have some competition and take his position away.
See, I completely disagree for the point of this is a team. A team. And if you go down, Flacco, and your backup stinks, that's kind of on you because you didn't help him and show him exactly what to do. Let me show you how much you have to study, what film you need to watch. Let me show you the best workouts. Let me show you that this is what works for me. It may not work for you. You do your own thing. I mean, when we train people that come into the job, we don't train them because, no, you're going to take away my position, so I'm not going to train you the right way. I'm going to teach you the worst things, and you go learn it on your own. No, you need to be there for this person because if, my goodness, if something happens to you, you want your team to still succeed.
Donna, I love the fact that you see this as like a family, not 10-10, but the NFL and these teams, like they care about each other and they're here to build one another up. No. No freaking way. And you're also speaking like somebody who's very confident that their quarterback would never have to be replaced unless he was in a big-time injury.
I was going to say,
I'm all about like, hey, look, here's the deal. You can follow me around at practice. You can see what I do, but I'm not going out of my way to help you. Again, possibly take my – ask Tyrod Taylor how that worked out for him in Cleveland. If you watched Hard Knocks –
Tyrod, ladies.
Either way. Baker Mayfield says at rookie camp, how do you feel about being the backup? He's like, I don't want to be the backup. I'm going after that number one starting position. And then on Hard Knocks, he shows up to practice a few minutes later. There are a couple hours after Tyrod Taylor does, and the coach at the time makes sure to point out, hey, listen, if you you probably should get here a little bit sooner. Tyrod goes down, and Baker Mayfield steps right in, is ready to go, and that was the end of Tyrod Taylor. Joe Flacco does not – he's looking in the rearview mirror. He does not want to be looking in the rearview mirror. I'm all about, like, hey, let's camaraderie all for one and one for all. But in a situation where you're trying to come after my position – you got to figure out how, we're all adults here. You're a professional now. You figure out how to train on your own.
Yeah, but that's apples and oranges when you talk about Flacco and Taylor. Tyrod was barely hanging on to that position.
Well, I'd say some people are saying Joe Flacco is kind of barely hanging on as well.
I agree, but Flacco is a long-time veteran. I wouldn't look at Taylor like I would as Flacco for being there with the knowledge of knowing how to succeed, knowing how to – whether you want to give him the you know, winning the Super Bowl. I know he did, but a lot of that's on the defense. But still, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He has the knowledge that you want to learn from. Taylor didn't. I mean, what's he going to teach you?
I think the answer is honestly somewhere in between. Selfishly, nobody wants to equip their competition with the tools to upstage them and to take over their starting role. However, if you are paid by the team to be the best teammate you can be, you do have somewhat of an obligation to make that person the best that they can be for the team, not just in the event that you go down, if they end up being better than you. But again, you're talking about humans here. No, Joe Flacco is answering the question honestly, and I actually...
Which I appreciate.
I do appreciate that, because like you said, Lauren Pesce, anybody can go, I'm going to do the best. I think they picked the right guy in the draft, and I'm going to do the best I can to help him succeed. And then behind closed doors be like, you're on your own, Rook. I had to learn myself the hard way.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, go through a lot of different things, a lot of different obstacles to get to where I was and win that Super Bowl. Good luck. But that's why I think in the end, I tried to look at the situation. My first gut reaction was, I don't want to help the competition. But then I thought about it and I said, I've been in positions where the competition was brought in, and I helped the people. Even though I didn't want to, I ended up helping them because that's the right thing to do. So as much as I want to be tough girl and no, this is my way, good luck, I think in the end would end up mentoring that person. Maybe not as good as the coaches will mentor, but certainly to the best of my ability. Donna, if I asked you, do you want or do you expect Tom Brady, when Jimmy G was there, let's say, did you expect Tom Brady to take Jimmy Garoppolo to the side and teach him everything? Or do you expect Tom Brady to go, hey, I'm still the starting quarterback and I know exactly what I need to do, the hours I need to spend preparing for the season. Dude, you can watch me, you can follow me, but I don't have time to really spend time with you in order to be another Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, I expected him, obviously, whether or not he was run out of town by Tom, you know, is still up in the air, but they still hang out. He still talks to all of his former quarterbacks that were on the team with him. I expect for the so-called competition, your backup QB, to drive you even better. I would expect Flacco to be like, you know what? You think you want to come in here and take my job? I'm going to show you what I do, and you're not going to take this from me because I'm going to be that much better than you. That should fuel you. It shouldn't irritate you that somebody has been drafted. I mean, the Patriots have drafted a quarterback in almost every single draft since Brady has been playing. So it's not a huge surprise. It should just make you that much better. And this isn't news when we talk about, you know, Joe Flacco reporting this. I mean, it was long known that Brett Favre was not mentoring Aaron Rodgers at all. And in an interview from 2016, he mentions this same exact thing.
I think as a starter, my job's hard enough to win ball games and be a leader. And I'm not, you're not a babysitter. And I'm not by no means talking about Aaron, but he's the starter now. So the next quarterback comes in, whether he's a first round pick or third round pick or a free agent, but they like him. Nowhere does it say that you have to take that guy under your wing and teach him the ropes. You don't have to do anything but win ball games for whoever it is you're the starting quarterback for. Ultimately, that's what keeps you around or doesn't.
And I love his honesty with that. And I bet, by the way, now knowing all that we know about Aaron Rodgers, when he said, I'm not talking about Aaron Rodgers as far as babysitting, he probably was, because we've now learned that this kid is kind of a diva. But I agree with Brett. That is his job, is to win football games. But as the team, as the head coach, if something were to happen to him, if he all of a sudden gets in a slump, isn't the team better off if he has shown the rookie or the young quarterback at least the way he goes about his business? And maybe some, you know, hey, when you see this, that means that for defense. You are better off.
I would agree. However, I think it's more Locke's responsibility to pay attention and keep his eyes and his ears open to what Flacco is doing, and less about Flacco being like, okay, see what I did there and see what I did this and this. I mean, all rookies, doesn't matter what position you play, should spend the most time studying the playbooks, most time at the facilities that they can, and be as ingrained as possible, because they have to be a sponge and absorb everything. They shouldn't have this mindset that, oh, hopefully somebody will help me out along the way. No, I mean, every position that someone got drafted for, whatever position it was, there's a veteran going, that guy's not taking my spot. So as much as we want a backup to be ready to go, it's their responsibility to make sure they ask the right questions. And whether it's to the offensive coordinator or the head coach or the quarterback's coach or whatever it is, or even Joe Flacco, if he gets the opportunity to ask Joe a question and he gives him an answer, it's more Locke's responsibility to learn and become a sponge than it is Flacco's to be this mentor, in my opinion.
The way I've always looked at it, too, the most important decisions you're going to make as a quarterback are in live action. So no matter how much mentoring you've received, if you don't have, A, the playbook obviously down pat, but B, if you don't have the game slowed down to the level where you know exactly where to go with the football, it doesn't matter who taught you what, you're still not going to be making the right decisions. And obviously you need the arm strength too, but you probably don't have that, or you probably have that if you were drafted. So I think eventually it doesn't matter what happens prior to with the veterans or even with your coaches. You've got to learn how to make those decisions and make them very quickly in order to succeed.
I agree. I think being a mentor is one thing, but allowing the backup, allowing the rookie to somewhat be attached to you at the hip during training camp is another. I think Locke could be there. Locke could be in the film room every time the offense runs something, and then they sit down on the bench and you see the quarterback's coach or the offensive coordinator going over the tablet with the quarterback. the backup needs to be there and listening and paying attention. Okay, so what are you telling him? Why did we do that? What happened? What went wrong? That's what allowing him in, I think, is the biggest thing.
Well, and it's obviously, at the end of the day, I think a player gets played to play. Mm-hmm. It is not technically within their job responsibilities to teach anybody else. It is theirs to perform at their best ability. It is the coach's job to then teach everybody else. But in order to be the best team you can be, the backup quarterback, a lot of times we saw with the Eagles in the Super Bowl, that can be the most important position on the team. So you are better off if Wentz gives 1 hour a week to Foles. And that situation is obviously different. Wentz is younger than Foles. But either way, if he sees something in it and he can impart that wisdom on Nick Foles, they end up with the rings, and that's the best thing for everyone at the end of the day.
Joe Flacco is 34 years old. Mm-hmm.
People talk about him like he's ancient and he's younger than us.
No, but he's at the, in terms of football talk, he's getting up there and getting much closer to possibly bouncing around.
Breeze, Brady, Rivers,
and
all
listen,
older.
And he's playing for a team right now, or will be playing for a team this fall, who in 2015, since 2015, has essentially gone through 8 quarterbacks. Now, some of these guys have repeated themselves, but there hasn't been a year outside of Case Keenum playing last year that they have had one guy play the entire season. And he's probably paying attention to that, thinking, okay, I've seen Trevor Siemian come through and Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler and Peyton and all these guys come through in a short amount of time. He's absolutely breathing down the back of my neck. At this point, he is like, survive in advance, right? Stay as long as you can in the league. Keep playing. Keep getting somebody. You don't want somebody to be able to come in and take your snaps away from you.
And also, he came from a situation where the rookie took over the starting job, and he, I think, was better than the rookie. He didn't have great stats last season, but yeah. I still think in the postseason it would have been better to have Joe Flacco starting because of all of his experience than to have Lamar Jackson starting.
Right.
So, of course, he's at this point already annoyed because of what
yes.
he just came from
so
in Baltimore.
He's like, I'm done helping people out.
Right. Like,
this is about me.
This is about me. And there are times that you need to be selfish. There are times that it is okay to say no to other people and to do whatever
right.
it takes for you to be successful. And then there are other times where being a helpful person can end up even benefiting you in the long run.
Now, speaking of being helpful, you two ladies were very helpful over the weekend. Reaching out, being a part of the Vision Walk?
Yes.
Weren't you involved in that, Donna?
I was.
Okay, tell me about that.
I tag along.
So the Vision Walk is a charitable event that goes on that it's... So it's a 5K, but really it ends up being kind of half that because most people just do half the loop. But either way, it's a really fun event. It's held at UNF, and it benefits the Foundation for Fighting Blindness, and it raises money for research funds to help people with retinal diseases and to help find cures for those things and find treatments. So we have done it now. That was our 5th year, and I do the emceeing of it, and Donna leads the entire group of participants in stretching. She does a phenomenal job. Really, I'm just a preamble to Donna. And this year, her son, JT, even helped out too. Her whole family was there, but it was great. And the people are really thankful that we're there. But moreover, it's just it's a great cause. The Vision Walk started in 2006, and it has raised over $50 million for funds to help kind of do this. And obviously, it touches a soft spot for me because I have vision issues. I don't have retinal disease issues, which are far worse than what I've dealt with, but I really only have like one eye that I see out of. So I understand and appreciate these people who come and out and walk, and a lot of them are fully blind and they have guide dogs, and others are going through a lot of disease issues right now. And so certainly it's a great cause, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you ladies did that. Good job. You represented Tintin XL very well. All right, it's May the 14th, which must mean only one thing. Our first off-season power rankings. Where do the Jaguars fall? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, Tuesday night means Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. I'm Lauren Rue, Donna Murphy, and Lauren Brooks. We're live from Mr. Chubby's Wings, but we're on the west side this time. Hope you'll come out and see us. We'll be out here at 8 o'clock. They're open much later than that. They've got some specials we want to tell you about, so make sure you come out here tonight for all-you-can-eat wings that began at 6 o'clock. That runs through 10 p.m., $3 kids' meals, and $7 domestic pitchers. So come on out.
That's what I have right now, but you kept mentioning other specials. So I was like, wings is what I have
wings
right now.
Wings is what you, and they are spicy a bit for you, but good.
Spicy, but delicious. But these fried pickles are absolutely amazing.
They are. And Lauren Brooks is, find something she likes and she sticks with it.
That's 100% correct. Yes. I have the chicken wrap and potato salad yet again. And, of course, the dill pickle, which I consumed immediately. By the way, are you on your third or your fourth pitcher, Donna?
Pitcher of what? Oh. No, I am not a beer girl.
As soon as Lauren finished, she said, in pitchers
right.
for $7. And you were like, that's what I have.
Yep. Nope. Yeah. Not a beer lady.
Well, I could use a cold beer right now, and hopefully we'll get to enjoy those in just a little bit. They have plenty of that and plenty of drink options out here at Mr. Chubby's Wings on the west side as well. All right, Peter King with Pro Football Talk. I thought he was with Sports Illustrated.
So he used to be, and he did the Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
And then I assume that Pro Football Talk and NBC came to him and paid him more money.
Come hang out with us. Yeah.
So, yeah, now he tweets out, it's called the Football Morning in America.
So that's
different than Football Night in America.
FMIA stands for.
That is
Thank
correct.
Thank you for helping me out there.
It is not fear in missing out or anything
Yes, FOMO is a real thing, fear of missing out. We all suffer from it from occasion. Lauren, you found this, and you guys had a discussion about this on the Franchise Show. Tell us what this first, I guess, of the off-season power rankings, kind of what went into that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, to give you a little preview, the top five are the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Colts, which is, I think, a very interesting surprise there. The Rams 4 and the Chargers 5, with the Saints coming in just outside of the top 5 at 6. No surprises outside of the Colts to me. That is a big jump, but as Peter King says, he's trusting a lot in their new pass rusher, Justin Houston. The Jacksonville Jaguars come in at 20th, and here's what Peter King says. Hard not to get a weird vibe from this team. I think we can all at least agree with that part
agreed.
Of it. You've got two of the most my way or the highway guys in Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone running the show. And last year there was Jalen Ramsey being a loose cannon all year and Leonard Fournette acting up late in the season. Both are back this year on the way to a stunningly disappointing 5-win season. Then Coughlin criticizes players who aren't in the voluntary offseason program. We discussed that a few minutes ago. The leading tackler, linebacker Telvin Smith, mysteriously walks away from football without first telling the team and acts all bothered when people question why he's doing this and makes himself unavailable to the team, even with Nick Foles, the steadiest guy and best teammate you could imagine, imported to improve the quarterback position. I love the imported part. It's hard to trust this team. 2 years ago when Tom Coughlin was hired, the entire mantra surrounding the Jaguars fan base and many in the media was in Tom we trust. Tom Coughlin was here at the start of everything. Tom Coughlin led this team never to a Super Bowl, but certainly to some great heights, and then did win two Super Bowls with the Giants. It was a collective statement that I think was widely held throughout the fan base. In Tom we trust. In 2017, it looked like in Tom we trust could do no wrong. The Jaguars were minutes away from at least playing in the Super Bowl. We'll never know if the Jaguars had beaten the Patriots, if they would have actually defeated the Eagles and won the Super Bowl. But either way, they were a few minutes away. And certainly everyone knows the Miles Jack wasn't down mantra as well. Last year, it was a complete and total disaster. It started in the training camp with fights between Dante Fowler Jr. and Yannick Ngakoue. It extended to the London road trip where four Jaguars were detained. Dante Fowler Jr. disappeared. The team obviously let him go. Shortly thereafter, we had Leonard Fournette running off the sideline in getting in a fight with Shaq Lawson, who belonged to the Bills at the time. We had Fournette missing a bunch of time because of that hamstring injury that happened in week one, and that was all tied into then him sitting on the bench with TJ Yeldon late in the season, both of them looking annoyed and bored. A lot of different issues. I'm sure I'm leaving some of those out. Oh, yeah, and Jalen Ramsey calling out every quarterback in the NFL before the season even started. The season now, you look back and you think, well, of course it was doomed for failure. But that was before we knew all of the injuries that were going to occur, including Marquise Lee in the preseason suffering that gruesome knee injury. So now where are we? We've had 2017 success after many years of not being successful. We've had 2018 disastrous, 5-11. Now where are we? Tom Coughlin's still here. Doug Marrone is still here. Dave Caldwell's still here. But they have a new quarterback in Nick Foles. Does one change at the quarterback position and, of course, an elite pass rusher being added in Josh Allen and an elite, hopefully, right tackle in Juwan Taylor. Does all that fix this situation? Or are we left going, the Jaguars are still, as Peter King says, a team that you can't trust?
Until they prove otherwise, I think they're a team you can't trust. I think we want to believe that Nick Foles is going to have a lot of answers that Blake Bortles didn't have last season and the other seasons that he played more down than up. There was one thing that Peter King said in here that I kind of disagreed with, and I'm curious if you all did as well. The line where he says, you've got two of the most my way or the highway guys, and Coughlin, agreed. Marone, to me, Doug Marone doesn't exude that kind of power. With all due respect, to me, Tom Coughlin is the one who's, it's my way or the highway. He's the one standing up there saying, you should be at voluntary practice. Doug Marone defers. Doug deflects and defers and says, oh, I don't know. I don't hire, you know, I'm just worried about coaching these guys up. I'm just trying to win football games. To me, I don't think he has that. I don't think he has that power to be the my way or the highway guy.
I think as a head coach, you always have the power. I'm just not sure that that is his personality. We've seen him say a lot of times, that's on me, that's on me. And he's never really, when it came to the Fournette, oh yeah, I forgot, this past offseason, Leonard Fournette obviously gets arrested because of the whole license issue, license being suspended. Marone, instead of taking really Fournette to the woodshed publicly in the media, says, you know what, we're going to handle that, and we all make mistakes, and tells really a story that kind of takes the heat off of Fournette. So I don't know that Marone, I'm not going to disagree that he isn't that personality, but I will disagree that he doesn't have the power. He absolutely has the power, because at the end of the day, I think a lot of times when he says, you know, I don't make those decisions, I think that's more him not wanting to address the media and answer those questions. But I absolutely think he walks around with a lot of power in that building.
I think Marone used to. I think it was before Coughlin came. He had that attitude. He had that exuberance. But I think once Coughlin came in, it's like, oh, all right, so you're the bad guy now, and I'm just going to coach this. My job is to just coach these guys up. You deal with all that. I'm not going to worry about sitting guys or whatnot. That's not me. So I think once Coughlin got here, yeah, it all changed, and personality-wise, it changed for Marone. But I don't disagree with Peter King, at least on the Jags' part. His top five is way too wonky for me, but that's a whole nother issue. I don't disagree with what he said. It is hard to trust this team because you don't know. It's every other year. What, are they going to be a 9-win team? Are they going to be a 3-win team? Are they going to be what on earth is going to happen? They need consistency.
I think it's really interesting because the time of year that I moved here and the hype was so high and it was Super Bowl or bust, and it obviously turned into more bust, I've heard more people say now with an upgrade at quarterback, oh, this isn't a Super Bowl team. No, I don't think this. And I'm like, well, that's really interesting because you just made an upgrade at quarterback. The pieces around you are going to be better, or you assume will be better. The defense has gotten better with the draft. You didn't really lose anybody defensively that is going to break this defense. And if, well, that's what it's being based off of, if Leonard, and again, I get, you're banking on Leonard Fournette being an adult and showing up and doing his job, and you're banking on maybe the wide receivers being better than they were last year, and maybe with that comes the combination of combining them with Nick Foles. But to me, it's just an interesting perspective of like, wow, because to me, this team seems like it's already better based on replacing the quarterback.
And I certainly understand that. I hadn't thought about it like that, but I certainly understand where you're coming from. I think it's hard not to ride the wave of momentum. And this team was incredibly successful in 2017 running the football. The offensive line pretty much stayed intact, and they were able to...
And defensively, the numbers were unattainable year after year. I mean,
right,
some of those numbers were
But almost everyone returned defensively other than Aaron Colvin, if I remember correctly. And Posluszny, of course, mm-hmm, retired. But other than that, it was, okay, we're going to add a few pieces in the draft, and Taven Bryan, DJ Chark, those kinds of guys. But we don't even need them to step in right away. We've got the core of guys, and we were so close to beating the Patriots with Blake Bortles at quarterback. So why wouldn't we be able to improve in the offseason, tighten up a few things, and ride into 2018 as Super Bowl, maybe not favorites, but certainly contenders in the AFC? So many different things went wrong that's why that prediction ended up incorrect. And I think the reason people aren't wanting to ever get close to saying Super Bowl now is, A, they were burned.
Right. And that's
But B, they are looking up and going, okay, Nick Foles has only been successful in one place. He's been on a few different teams. He's only been successful in Philadelphia.
Sure.
The offensive coordinator that's coming to Jacksonville, in John DeFilippo, He was not the offensive coordinator when Nick Foles was successful. And then he went to the Vikings and got fired.
Right.
So we're not talking about the exact same pieces coming.
Sure.
And you can't be that successful in the NFL anymore, even though that was only 2 years ago. But looking forward, you can't be that successful in the NFL anymore if you want to run the football and play good defense. And, oh, by the way, on defense, now we've got the Telvin Smith issue. But also, I think a huge piece of that secondary and that defense was Tashawn Gibson. He was kind of the calming leader as the free safety, and he was excellent. And he covered tight ends, and I thought he was really, really good, and now they don't have him either.
Right.
Plus, they don't have Malik Jackson. So I think if you're breaking it apart, and now people are willing to be more realistic than optimistic because they, like I said, just got burned.
Just to clarify, I don't think this team is going to the Super Bowl just like I didn't think last year's team was, but I think you're right.
I think
there's so many, like, open wounds still that have just reopened it after year after year where people are like, screw it. Until it actually happens or it gets close or looks like it's going to be, I would be optimistic all the way, no doubt.
But if you're comparing 2018 Jaguars to 2019 Jaguars, if you upgrade at quarterback, if you upgrade at pass rusher, if you upgrade at tackle, if you potentially add... maybe not as good of a linebacker, not nearly, but you add
still
a linebacker.
Still need some tight end help.
Sure, but you added a tight end.
Right.
He's going to be a rookie, but still. We added a tight end. The Jaguars added a tight end that is better than any of the tight ends that were on the team last year, even though he's going to be a rookie. You add a running back to add depth there, and you do add a linebacker who potentially could take over for Telvin. I think when you look at it all, you think, 2019, this team is better than 2018. It's just the only problem is 2018's team, A, fell apart with injuries, and B, they went 5-11. So how much better is this team?
Right.
Can they really get to 9-7?
And the AFC South is not the easiest. It's not going to be the easiest place for them to go.
Well, not if you believe Peter King.
No. And, I mean, the Colts are favored right now to win the division, and they're going to have their work cut out for them.
And the Texans
are
pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the Jaguars have proved that the Titans have just been the evil stepmother that won't go away. I think that's a new analogy I made up. I'm not sure. Like Cinderella's stepmother. So, no, I don't think that's the same thing. Either way, Caster Semenya, somebody we talked about last week quite a bit. And, well, briefly here, if you missed our show last week, she is an 800-meter runner from South Africa. She is currently not able to compete in IAAF events because her testosterone level is extremely high. Not because she is doping or anything like that. It's actually quite the opposite. She was naturally born with very high testosterone. Well, the people who make all the rules about who can compete and what have come out and said, you know what? If you want to compete, you need to take a substance that requires that essentially drops your testosterone level, makes it a more even playing field. We talked a lot about that last week. Well, she has tried to appeal it. It's been shot down. Now that coming across yesterday or the day before, the Court of Arbitration for Sports Decision is going to appeal. There's going to be an appeal in her favor from the Athletic South Africa, ASA. We'll go after it again to try to get her the ability to run and not have to put foreign substances in her bloodstream.
Good for South Africa.
Yeah, so hopefully that comes through for her. All right, we are going to say goodbye to Andrew Gibson. Andrew Gibson, thank you for hanging out in the 6 o'clock
hour.
He's
going to watch some baseball.
Who are you watching? Oh, his Braves. Who are you Braves?
No. He's going to the Jumbo Shrimp game because Sixto Sanchez is pitching.
Oh, excellent. Well, enjoy that, Andrew.
He might have already left, as a matter of fact.
Might have already left. All right, Andrew, if you're listening in the car, I hope you're enjoying that. I hope there's somebody back there. Matt LaVey, are you with us?
Yeah, I am with you guys.
I figured.
Oh, very good.
Gibbs tapped out, and we exchanged there.
Oh, very good. All right, well, Matt LaVey, we appreciate you hanging with us for the next hour. We are live from Chubby's Wings on the West Side. Again, we told you Tuesday night, that is the night to be at Chubby's, especially on the West Side. A, because we're here till 8 o'clock, but B, because of the specials. They have $3 kids' meals, $7 domestic pitchers, and all-you-can-eat wings from now until 10 p.m. You can't beat that. Every time I turn around, the Chicago Cubs continue to do something bizarre and puzzling and head-scratching. We'll tell you about the latest with them right after this. Well, last week we all got a refresher course, a much-needed one, in hand gestures.
Yes.
This was a very interesting story coming out of Chicago where there has been some negative attention been coming out of Wrigley Field over the past few months. And this just happened to coincide with the same night that Addison Russell made his return
to the Cubs lineup after serving a what was supposed to be a 40-game suspension for domestic violence, one that he admitted to and said he was going to get help for and has said all the right things. Now we'll see if the actions follow suit. But I know he served 30-game suspension, and then he got called up to AAA. And then he got called up a little earlier than expected because of Ben Zobrist having to step away and go on the injured reserve list or something like that. So
IL, they call it.
IL, yes. So there is that side of the story. Then there is what happened after the game, and that is where I found myself going, oh, my God, I hope I'm not making this hand symbol. I think at this point you guys are up to date on the story, but if not, Doug Lanfield was doing a post-game report after the Cubs game. And
he's an African-American reporter.
Yes, and he's standing with his back toward some of the seats that are closer down to home plate. And a man behind him, a white guy behind him, puts down essentially the OK sign with three fingers stuck out to the side. Now, if you ever played the circle game, that's the symbol that it looks very similar to. But what we then realize very quickly is apparently it also has another meaning, and that is tied to the white supremacist group. Essentially, I had tried to look up to find out what in the world it actually meant. I've read everything from it being like OKKK, as in like the K Ku Klux Klan. And then something with OP, it looked like the letter OP and what, I don't know. Either way, it was a bad deal. And this person was swiftly and in most a lot of people's eyes justly treated and said, you know what? You are now banned. You're not allowed to return to Wrigley Field. Now, here's where the story kind of takes a weird turn. And Donna and I, or you and I talked about this today. Donna, you brought it to my attention last week. We are assuming that the guy knew what he was doing, and that's why they invited him. That's why they said, you may not come back, right? Mm-hmm. Because he has not come out and said anything. We don't even know his name.
Right.
But he, if it were me,
I assume they're protecting him.
Yes, maybe
by
so.
By not releasing his name.
Yes.
Because I don't think that would go over very well with
right.
a lot of people. But the Cubs tried to contact or did
multiple times
get in touch with him at some point.
And he didn't want to talk or refute anything that they were alleging.
To me, it's
really kind of bizarre.
If it was a Caucasian reporter up there and he flashed that sign, it would be even a more perturbing, or not perturbing, but even a more interesting story if the Cubs still banned him.
Right.
To me, it's a pretty clear-cut case. There are not a lot of African-American reporters in baseball.
Right.
And here's a guy who decides to throw out that symbol. I personally, until this story came out, didn't know that symbol meant that. But I also have zero ties whatsoever to any sort of group that's
you're not,
that's
like,
racist.
Well invested in the Ku Klux Klan.
Right. I find it, like, physically...
don't hang out with them on the weekends.
Physically disgusting.
No, I don't think any of us do.
But, like, physically disgusting
not.
To think no. about anyone in this day and age to do something like that. Like, to
but,
actually have
but
the forethought to do that.
But you didn't know that's what that symbol meant in that scenario.
I had no idea.
I thought
until
literally
the story
it
came
was
out.
That circle game thing. Donna, you shared that picture regarding the women's hockey team.
Right. Taylor Dahl brought that up to me. She goes, oh, it was on, you know, when the women won the gold medal. And you see it, their picture, and you see the one right next to the trophy, and she's putting out that symbol. So no one ever heard.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Not,
I don't
no
recall
uproar,
any kind of right pushback
nothing.
From that.
So I don't know what she was meaning with that symbol. I don't know. I've never played this circle game. I don't know anything. I know my thumbs up with the Fonzie,
yes.
you know, or the Fonzie Muppet
because
babies.
You're 100 years old.
Yes, I know that. I know the middle finger.
Yes, which is
but that's all
one
I got
of my
for
favorites.
You, with hand gestures.
We should just all stick to the middle finger because we know what that one
yes.
means.
I don't like the middle finger. It's not very classy as a
well,
lady.
Well, I mean, but right, but like. Sometimes,
but
it
I know
is
what you
like,
mean. He had he done that, he
yeah.
would not be permanently banned
no,
from Wrigley
well,
Field. He would be talked to. He might get a
yeah.
suspension, or he might just be asked, "Hey, dude, you're in really good seats. If you'd like to keep
yes.
these seats, behave like an adult."
Mm-hmm.
But now, to be like, have you thought about what it's like to be permanently banned from your favorite stadium ever? I thought through this whole thing, and I thought, what. I'm glad, obviously, if this person is racist, that this person does not have these seats anymore. But I can't imagine if we were to ask him, was that gesture worth getting permanently banned from what I'm going to guess is your all-time favorite team mm-hmm. and watching the Cubs. There's no way that was
right.
that was worth it. And I can't imagine if someone told me you can never again go to TIA Bank Field. You can never again go to Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. You can never again go to the baseball grounds of Jacksonville. Never again. I would be devastated. And I understand there are situations you can't control. You may get in a fight and you may get kicked out. But I've never even imagined getting permanently banned from one of those places and how upset I would be.
If you're screaming at your radio saying, what's the circle game? It's very sophomoric and silly. And I know that we played it all through like junior high and high school. You essentially do that symbol, the OK symbol with the three fingers out to the side, and you hang it below your waist, and you essentially hope that somebody looks at it, so that if they look at it, you punch them in the arm, but if they take their finger and break the circle, they get to punch you in turn. So, again, it's a silly thing that some people still pass around, but I'll take it one step further. You can relate to being banned from your stadium. From a mother's perspective...
Oh.
Like, if my son comes home and starts playing that game, before this, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. I'd have been mm-hmm. like, oh, they're playing that circle game. Now I'm
everything
like, oh, God,
back.
Everybody's going to think you're part of the Ku Klux Klan and that your parents wear white robes and are total racist. You can't do that. And then I have to explain why you can't make that symbol anymore. And it's like adds one more level of difficulty in parenting because now it's this thing, right? Because if my kid's doing it in a picture, if it's meant for the circle game,
right?
But somebody sees it and it's like, Lauren Roos' kids are racist, then what am I supposed to say?
It's funny you say that because I think it was the next day or 2 days later, I was asking JT about something who's six, and he goes, it's all okay, and did the okay symbol.
See, you don't even want to do
knows,
it now.
And I'm like, you're six? I'm not even going to worry about this because if someone brings it to my attention, I will give them the friend's little fist up, which if you know what that means, then... rock on you. I don't know if anybody remembers that Friends one, so I enjoy it.
Okay, so Chris sends me on Twitter, @Lauren_Rue, he sends me a tweet of a man, New Zealand shooter flashes white power symbol in court, which is that symbol, and they've got the face. Now, it's not the same guy, obviously,
right.
from the Cubs thing. But again, I'm with you, and if that's what they determined that he's being racist, and but how did they know that's what he meant by it?
Right.
Because
they contacted him, and it said they ultimately determined.
Right.
Didn't say that.
I mean,
they
like, how do you determine somebody's a racist? I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, like,
I'm guessing they found him on social media. Yeah, there has to be posts because
peep of the guy's face hasn't been.
But maybe that was the trade-off.
Right.
Maybe they said we won't release your information.
They don't want
to
glorify him.
That could end up where some people target him now. And I'm not going to say that that's right either. Mm-hmm. But to publicly declare that you are a white supremacist means that other people are going to completely, obviously, and violently disagree. Maybe not physically violent, but vehemently, that's a better word, disagree with that person.
It is, and back to the other part of this conversation, it is ironic of sorts that the game this happened in was the same one, again, that Addison Russell makes his return for, where mm-hmm. a lot of people were upset that he wasn't even allowed to be still part of the Cubs organization. I mean, this is an equally bad dude, equally in the sense of both things are very wrong, to be a member of a white supremacist group and also being a domestic abuser. Different, obviously, bad behavior. But still, the fact that they so swiftly said, you know what, you're out, you're done, after following up on it. And if that's the case, then yes, if he is that person, he should be. But, you know, you welcome in your second baseman, middle infielder back in because you got to have somebody to play because this, I mean, and you're paying him all this money. And I don't know, it to me seems a bit like, this is what we're mad about. We're going to get real, take a stance on this. But when it comes to domestic violence, we're going to let the Major League Baseball take its thing. And, well, I mean, this is also the same team that signed Aroldis Chapman a few years ago. So they are very particular and strategic about what they seem to get very upset about.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're the Cubs, you're not going to suspend your player more than what the league
pronounces. No, but there were people calling for him to be released from the Cubs, saying he should be cut and somebody else
but
should
talent play. Supersedes everything, as we've learned. Tyreek Hill is still a member of the Chiefs at
right.
this point. And if you're talented, you somehow
should
Greg Hardy
that way?
Will find a way to play.
But should it be that way?
Of course not.
Right.
But for the here and now in the world of professional athletes, if you're one of the best baseball players on earth, you're going to stay on your team and you're just going to serve your 40-game suspension.
Well, and he really wasn't even, I mean, he's good, but he's even been struggling, had been struggling a bit.
Yeah,
before.
But he was on the team when they won the World Series, obviously, it was a big part of that. But is it right? Of course not. But at the same time, at least they followed the rules with the suspension. And as far as this guy, they swiftly moved. I think that regardless of what happened with Addison Russell, at least for this instance, they didn't sit back and go, well, you know what? He pays us a lot of money to have those seats. We're going to just suspend him for
And we don't know his status of what kind of fan he was, right? I mean, it could have been somebody who, like,
we have no idea.
Cheap seats and walked his way down and was like,
right.
I want to be
but
on camera.
But if you assume that he had, you know, really good seats and paid a lot of money, they certainly could have. They could have said, well, let's just suspend him, hope this doesn't make the news, and let him come back once he served a suspension. They could have done that.
Game one of the Western Conference Finals gets going tonight, and it's brother versus brother. We discuss that next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, there is a party going on that we didn't... Speaking of FOMO, Donna Murphy.
Yeah, there's a party going on.
A party going on that Helmets and Heels did not get invited to. Dan Hicken looking at you.
Well, you know, he's a bit jealous of the heel tones after getting all the attention from Jag's Today song. So.
Oh.
Hello, Fred.
Is that why we're not invited?
I don't know. I think it's rude, and I'm going to take it to the highest authority when I can.
I don't have an NBA team, so I don't find it rude in the least. Plus, we are here.
It's a party. So we should always be included in parties. You're right.
Again,
we are.
The heel tones should always be invited with something Hicken. But, you know, some people have egos.
That's right. And we are having a great night out at...
he is a man, right?
Yes, he is a man.
Are we done him under the bus yet?
No.
Let's do it one more time. His Knicks might get screwed tonight. That might be the great... I hope somebody has Facebook Live. The NBA draft lottery is tonight. And there's already been like a leak regarding... Because they don't do the... said popcorn balls, which are very good, by the way, only get stuck in your teeth. The ping pong ball method anymore. And apparently it's already been like pre-drafted and they're just going to walk out and say, the first draft pick will go to. So somebody caught Rachel Nichols and Mark Tatum in the hallway of wherever they're going to do this, like practicing announcing Phoenix getting the first pick. And that would absolutely ensue like pandemonium and meltdowns at the Hicken household if the New York Knicks don't get that first pick, because it's the Zion draft. It's Zion or bust. So
there you go, Lauren. You can say that you like Phoenix. That can be your team.
I do not want an NBA team. You know, I love sports, but the NBA has never been my cup of tea. I watch it in the postseason only, and it's not that I dislike basketball. I love college basketball. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing about the NBA, the style of play, that draws me in. So that's all. But that's just me. But I certainly understand that if I was a Knicks fan, if I was a...
Who anybody whose team
Phoenix,
needs
the Cavs,
is terrible.
Obviously,
and
also.
His has been
so
terrible.
Phoenix, Cleveland, and New York, they all have the opportunity. I think they're all tied at 14%. If I was one of those fans, tonight is a lot of fun. We talked on the Frangie Show earlier. Would you like to see the NFL move to a lottery versus just the straight draft? If you're the worst, you get to pick first. It would certainly add drama to it. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of fun. But obviously the NFL doesn't really need it to do anything right now about the draft because it draws in hundreds of
millions
of people.
Plenty of eyeballs, yes. Yep. Well, maybe you can find a soft spot in your heart for the NBA tonight when Seth versus Steph Curry in game one of the Western Conference Finals. The Trailblazers and the Golden State Warriors, of course. Being a mom in this situation would be really like, actually, it's a win-win situation because either way, one of your kids is going to go on to play for an NBA. More than likely, Steph Curry will be the one to go on to play. But either one of your kids will make it to the NBA Finals versus them being on the same team. But what do you think the pre-game conversations, if they have those, with their mom is like?
I mean, I think it's probably nothing different than what they grew up with. I mean, obviously, they grew up playing against each other. This is what, you know, they're used to that. They're used to the brother competitiveness and all of that. So, I don't, just because of the stage it's on, I mean, you can look, you know, when Eli and Peyton play together and Archie's up there. It's just, there's, okay, you know. I think it's fun. I think it might be more fun for them. But, I mean, that's what I like my family, so I don't know.
Well, and it's funny. I interviewed a wrestler recently, Dusty Rhodes' son, and he is going to be fighting his brother, again, wrestling his brother, I should say. It's not UFC, in the near future.
What kind of wrestling is it?
It's the Shad Khan owned.
Oh, it's
Shad Khan
the
AEW. It's
AEW.
AEW. Yeah.
All Elite Wrestling.
Right. And so they are going to be wrestling each other, but they said they don't like each other. Now, whether this is for show or not, I'll never pretend to know.
It's fictional. Yes.
But he and his wife both said that the brothers have not gotten along. They have a big gap in age. I want to say like 16 years. But either way, point
16
of the story,
years?
Something like that. The point of the story is.
Oh my.
I think there are people
I get the part that people have, but to fight somebody who's got 16 years on you?
I thought that was strange, too, but it's wrestling.
Okay,
so
you're right. Sorry. All right.
But the interesting part to me is there are families where siblings don't get along, and you obviously get along with yours, Donna, but I've always said it, God was smart and did not put a sister, a full-blooded sister in my family. I have a half-sister. She's a lot older. Because we would have killed each other. My brother and I fought already, but nothing like two sisters would the way my personality is. And so the thought process to me is the brothers going into this, no matter how much they get along, they absolutely want to make the other one maybe not look bad, but make the other one feel that they are better. I think there's always a higher level of competition between siblings than even between two people. But as far as the parents go, what I would do is one game I would wear Warriors. Next game, I would wear Trailblazers. Warriors, Trailblazers, and have Del
what about
Curry
the, yeah,
wear
what about
the other.
It? What about the
no, I don't like
jersey divided.
I personally wouldn't be able to cheer for both teams all night long. I would want to cheer for one team that night, the other team the next night. And then if there was like a game 7 win all, well, then I'm screwed, and I'm just going in plain clothes, and may the best man win.
I remember when Brady Quinn's sister dated A.J. Hawk, and Notre Dame and Ohio State played, and she had one of those jerseys that was like custom made right down the middle to show her support.
I think those are stupid.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
I understand the point,
right?
But you physically and emotionally can't cheer for both. You can't cheer for both.
You
can't win.
Some people can, Lauren. Okay, some people
can.
No,
you can't.
Yes, you can.
If
you
have win,
she had her brother and her boyfriend, and then they have their both sons. They absolutely can.
So in one wins, what do you say?
Great. Congratulations. And I'm sorry, but that's what I'm saying. It's a win-win situation when both of your sons are playing. It's also different, though, because it's a team sport versus like Serena and Venus, who play against each other occasionally. And that was actually supposed to happen today. But Serena Williams in the Italian Open in Rome, worse places to be than that, trust me, because I've been there. It's freaking amazing. Serena had to pull out because she was injured. And she was set to play her sister. And I wonder if she wasn't taking on her sister. I have no idea what the injury was or the extent of it. And trust me, by no means am I calling Serena Williams a wuss or anything like that. But I wonder if there was less motivation to push herself to try to compete because it was her sister that she'd be going up against.
No.
Versus, like, just somebody that she was playing. Meaning, like, well, I mean, if it can't be me that wins, like, I was going to play my sister, and now she gets to move on
They faced each other too many times. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know what the injury is.
It was a knee injury.
Yeah,
okay. Previously injured left knee. Yes.
That sounds painful.
I'm sure there's a big tennis open thing coming up soon, right? I haven't watched the tennis world that she probably wants to rest up for.
Maybe so.
I don't know what's coming up.
She has bounced back from
pregnant,
she got like right after it really quickly too to get back into the literally in the swing of
things. She had a rough childbirth,
yes.
Right?
Clots. Remember those people were idiots and telling her she couldn't wear the cat suit in France? They got all of all places to try to tell people what. I mean, there's some weird fashion that comes out. Wasn't it France?
I think so. Yes,
you
the
can't
French
wear
Open.
The yes, yeah, you can't wear the pants. She's like, I prefer not to die. Thank you.
Right.
I have blood clots, and I would also like to be able to do my job. So I'm sorry, it doesn't fit into your snooty skirt wearing days. I want the two of you to talk so I can drink this milkshake at Mr. Chubby's. It's really good.
I'm standing here at Mr. Chubby's because
the sun
was right in my
I wondered
face.
If you were getting ready to make some sort of announcement or
no.
If you were leaving.
No, here, anything like that. It's just the sun was coming directly in my face. And I think most people are enjoying the sunshine because they're not facing it directly. So I didn't want to ask Mr. Chubby's to lower the shades because
I think
it's lovely. No, I don't want them to because everyone else is enjoying it. So I just decided to stand. So that explains why I'm standing here at Mr. Chubby's.
Well, I'm enjoying an Oreo milkshake. milkshake. I haven't had a milkshake in like a bazillion years. I keep telling myself, there's protein in this, right? So it's kind of like a protein shake.
There's some milk in there.
Thank you.
Where's the protein?
I don't know, but
in
it's
the milk.
In the milk.
There's not that much protein in milk.
Shh, stop.
There's
I'm
protein
trying to, like,
in
not
meat
feel guilty
and cheese.
About it.
Lauren's ruining it.
There's protein in actual
I'm not
milk.
Saying you should feel guilty about it. I'm just saying I don't think
I feel like you're
if you're
me.
Drinking that for it to be like a pseudo milk, or I mean protein shake.
It's a meal replacement.
Not,
I'm calling it a
well,
meal
that
replacement.
Is correct.
Yes.
You are drinking a milkshake instead
because
of eating
Because I wasn't
dinner.
Starving, so I thought I went with the milkshake, and it did not disappoint. It's one of the many things you can get here at Mr. Chubby's Wings, where we're at tonight. We're on the West Side location. Donna had wings, and those are all you can eat uh-huh. on Tuesday nights until 10 p.m., so you still have plenty of time to come by and eat dinner. That Western Conference Finals Game 1 isn't till late because it's on the West Coast, and we're on...
I thought it was 9 o'clock.
That's
I mean,
late.
To me, more importantly, it's
tip off at 9 o'clock for somebody who doesn't watch NBA games. That's late.
Well,
that's past
it
midnight.
It could be worse. It could be 10:30. A lot of these
no, that's
semifinals
true. Yes.
have been that late.
The
yes.
more important game happens at 8, which is Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and that is for hockey with the Bruins in Carolina.
Are they
time.
Up? What's the series?
Tuesday? Bruins are up Tuesday.
I'm going to tell you something after that. Sports Talk Radio host up in Boston was rude to the Carolina beat writer. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not hear about
I
this.
I had to figure
which,
out.
I mean, you're telling me somebody from Boston was rude?
Rude, I know. Shocker, right? Water
what
is
surprise.
Water is wet and the sun comes up and sets and
yes.
does all the things it's supposed to do usually. Yeah, so he had on the Carolina Hurricane beat writer
okay.
on his program to preview the matchup uh-huh. with the Hurricanes, right? And he was extremely rude to him and, like, hung up on him and made his fun of his accent because he sounded
that's
like
what,
he's from the South.
That's what they do. That is their bit whenever they play a team. They've done it with Jacksonville when it was the playoffs. They do that. That is their thing to do.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, because they want to get under your skin and look like giant asses. And, well, that's exactly what they do. They mm-hmm. did it with us. When it was the yep. playoffs, and we prank called them, they prank called us live on
oh,
air.
Oh, really? Who yeah. was part of that prank calling?
I think it was Tyler. I think it was
who's
Tyler.
Now
who's
up there.
Who's now up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll never convince me that he was not all along a planted seed here
oh.
and a spy, and maybe that's why Miles Jack wasn't Donald Happen. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Speaking of chocolate.
Yes. Is it time to give away the Peterbrook chocolate heel, Matt LaVey? You are such a great numbers guy. You work in the banking industry. I can't count past 12 most days. So, please, sir, give me a caller that will walk away with today's Peterbrook chocolate heel.
Well, we'll definitely keep it under 12 here. Let's go with 5.
Oh, this is a higher number for you, though. You usually go like sub-4s.
Well, most
that is
producers
true.
Go 1 through 4 because we only have 4 phone lines.
Oh.
And most hosts do as well because... That way you don't have to, like, hang up
oh,
on
I've
the
done,
first
I've,
four and then go
we've
through.
We've done, like, 9 or 10 before, and it's like, thank you, try again. Thank you, try again.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
that so. Was actually kind of one of my favorite parts of being a producer is being, yes. hi, no, sorry, you didn't win.
You didn't
hi.
Win, goodbye.
Oh, sorry, you didn't win.
Just
is that how you would answer
up.
The phone?
No, I would say, 1010XL, I'm sorry you're not the winner. But
yes.
I would say, I would start off so excited. No, I'm just kidding. I really would be like, I'm so sorry you didn't win.
Yep.
And you'd be like,
try
oh,
again.
But maybe I can find something else for you to pick up because you're just...
Unless you're
nice
beef
like
and
that.
You just hang up on people or tell them, nope, you lost. Nope, you lost.
Yes, every producer has a different way to do it. Yeah, some just don't answer at all and then wait for the calls to cycle through if
yep,
they go beyond 4.
Hang them up, hang them up, hang them up, hang
right.
them up.
Yeah, some do that. I always like to talk to people.
Well, Matt LaVey, we will go with caller number 5. Makes your job easier and as kind or as rude as you want to be. It's completely up to you. 641-1010, caller number 5 walks away with tonight's Peterbrook chocolate heel, something we do every Tuesday night on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Tonight we're out on location, Mr. Chubby's Wings on the West Side. We come back, we wrap things up from here, tell you about the wonderful specials they have, and why Russell Wilson continues to annoy me on Instagram and Twitter. That's next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Listen, I hope that you all get your morning started with the drill every day, because they bring up some really hard-hitting debates, like whether you wash your legs in the shower or not. Well, we may have topped it
Wait,
this evening
what?
On Helmets and Heels.
Wash
I'll explain
legs.
In a moment. We're debating whether catfish, this is where this program has gone in the last segment of it, is considered seafood.
Chad and I both say no, because it's not found in the sea. You don't find catfish in the sea.
Where do you find catfish?
In the pond,
that's
in the lake.
That's still considered seafood. If it's swimming in a body of lake,
seafood,
ocean, whatever,
to Donna's point, is any form of sea life regarded as food by humans. Seafood prominently includes fish and shellfish. Shellfish obviously include mollusks, crustaceans, and echinoderms.
Mm. I don't know. I'm not buying
anything
it.
That comes
catfish
from the water
is, like
is
the,
seafood.
The bottom dweller of like the nasty thing, but it's so good. And it is because from Arkansas that I like it so much.
The way I look at fish is fish is best served not fried. Like to me, if it's good fish, then you don't need it to be fried. You fry the fish that's not quite as good. That's how I, at least, was raised. Like, grouper and mahi and tuna, you don't fry any of that. You can fry it, but it's best served other ways. But you fry, like, shark, if you ever catch mm-hmm. shark, and you don't want to necessarily throw it back if you've had a bad day, you can cut shark up. And a lot of the other fish that's not necessarily as good, you can keep that, fry it, and then it tastes good.
See,
a lot of white
good fish.
Fish
to me is no fish.
That's crazy
no
because you're
fish.
From the Northeast where they have delicious seafood.
I'm sorry. I know. I don't eat haddock. Excuse I don't me. Eat cod. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. There is a Google has provided some answers to our lively debate here regarding.
Google already provided answers.
Major species of freshwater fish are considered catfish, pike perch, eel,
probably
and weird
bass.
Stuff, whatever. Yes. But that's considered freshwater fish, not seafood.
It's ridiculous. It's a fish. It's in water. Stop it.
Well, you don't eat it.
Stop
so
it.
You don't get a vote. If you I don't mean, eat it, you
do
don't
you
get
think,
a vote.
Do you think these wings came from buffaloes?
No.
You know?
No.
I mean, come on. It's a fish. It lives in the water.
Let's go back to the washing the legs conversation.
Yeah, so that was a discussion whether or not do you wash your legs in the shower.
Yes.
I think
I mean,
women are probably
yeah,
all, right
mean,
are almost loofah. Always going to answer yes because women a lot of times right shave
I mean,
and even if they don't shave they still are
can
using
I,
a loofah.
Can but I disclose?
Men,
I know my husband washes his legs.
Let
you
me can
just,
disclose,
let
but
me
I think
tell
a lot
you,
of men think if they rub up here like a waist and above it drips down.
No,
to,
they, I yes, think that's what they talked they about today. Here's what happened to my life
Gross.
Today. I probably lost 2.5 years of my life today because I was forced in. Conversation to picture Dan Hicken and Beef and Jeff Prosser and maybe even Chad what they do in the shower with their legs. They're both like, they're all like, look, I do like this in the shower. And see, my legs are hairier than your. And I'm sitting there like, oh God, why can't turn it off? Turn it off.
Did you ask your husband if he washes his legs in the shower?
I don't need to ask. I know exactly what he does because I've been married to him for so. No, and he that man washes every inch of his body, and it takes him 20 minutes to do it. He washes his hands.
In the shower?
In the shower. Yes, that's what happens when you're married to a germaphobe. Yes. So, anyway.
So, wait, who on the morning show let
Dan
it just
Dan and Beef
drizzle
just
down?
Let it drizzle down
oh,
their legs.
Oh, they're so going to hear it. That is so disgusting.
And Jeff was like, crap from the road gets kicked up on your legs. You need to wash their legs. And they're like, no, we're fine. We don't need to wash
That's
our legs.
That's so gross.
So now you're picturing them in the shower, aren't you?
No.
It's weird.
I'm picturing their grossness just drizzling. That's what I'm picturing.
I'm not picturing it. I refuse.
Well, picture this. Russell Wilson signs the big contract. He's now taken to social media, showed us lying in bed with his wife, Sierra, to make the announcement when he signed that big deal with the Seahawks. Now he buys his mom a house for Mother's Day. Great. Why do you have to put it on social media?
Well, I really liked it.
Why? But what is – that's self-serving to – and look, I know I'm going to sound cynical and, like, get off my lawn here, but I think it's awesome when all these athletes do this. I think I give leeway to the, like, first-year guys and the rookies who get these contracts. They're like, look, mom, we made it, or mom and dad, or whatever, I want to do this for you. Or even if they, like, do it – under the privacy and somebody finds out about it and writes this story on it. But why does Russell Wilson, who gets enough attention as it is, who's also married to Sierra, who gets lots of attention, need to put the fact that he bought his mom this hat, like video her and video her melting, like, oh my God, this, why does that need to go on there?
My question is, why did it take this long for him to buy her a house?
Well, that's the questions that spark from this when you decide to put on for the world to
but
see you buying a house
I
for your mother.
I thought her reaction was so sweet.
Well, sure. That's not the part I'm questioning.
also, it's silly to me for them to, it's attention seeking and I don't like it.
We don't know that, let's say she lives in a house before, he may have paid off that house.
Yeah.
But now he's upgrading her because his bank account has significantly been upgraded. So that's kind of how I took it is, I think she was overwhelmed because here is this brand new house versus maybe he just took care of her
clearly
other house.
A big house.
Yes, clearly.
Yeah. So I'm the only one who's annoyed when people do stuff like this.
No, not necessarily. I think anytime I'm very anti look at me, right? Like when people do it on social media, I don't like it. A lot of times it leads me to unfollow or mute that person.
What's your motto? Selfies are
selfish. Right. And the more you post of just yourself, the more you are screaming to the world that you need people to look at you. That is not my personal favorite way to go about social media. And it's not my philosophy in life in general is the, hey, look at me. So therefore, what I think he did is, yes, hey, look at how great I am, and please appreciate that my skills on the field translated into $140 million, and I want all of you to think about how much money I made. However, what he did, at least, led to something amazing. And I think the reason he put it out there is because her reaction was not just, oh, thank you. He doesn't post the video if it's just like that. He posts the video because she was over the top in appreciation and gratitude.
Close to pee in her pants.
Right, and like, it was such a moment. And so that's, I agree with you on the, he's definitely posting it for people to look at him. But at the same time, he's trying to share her joy, and I'm never going to be opposed to something like that.
No, I loved it. I thought it was great. I love it when the rookies, Leonard Fournette did it, bought his mom a brand new car as soon as, you know, he got signed. So I don't know. I enjoy it because they can now. They have this. The mothers suffered paying all of the money, you know, paying for all the camps, doing this. And so they should be rewarded, and we should enjoy that.
Maybe sacrifice more than suffered.
I think suffered. If you're the mother of the Gronk family, you suffered. So she deserves anything.
Speaking of that, today is Rob Gronkowski's 30th birthday. If he were here right now, would he be dancing on the tables?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Drinking straight from a keg.
He would order the $7 domestic pitchers, like one for each hand, and just crush them and then belch really loud.
Like the offensive lineman at the hockey game recently. I forget his name.
About that.
There was an offensive lineman for the Packers, I think.
Packers.
So maybe, sorry, not a hockey game. He was at, I think, the Milwaukee game. And I want to say,
game? Okay.
Yeah,
like
I want to say
NBA?
It was an
and he
an
got caught on the screen and they were like,
and he chugged two beers.
Yes. Would you do that if you were at a game and you got caught on the Jumbotron, would you chug whatever you were drinking?
That was an offensive lineman.
No, if you were you.
No.
Oh, 100% I would.
I don't think that would ever pop in my head.
Well, chug.
No, seriously, they'll catch people on the screen with a full drink, and they'll be like,
cheers.
Okay, I would slam that thing down. I would also be the person, if I were so, if I had the hand-eye coordination to catch a foul ball in my beer, I would drink it with the ball
in there. Well, that's different. Yes.
Why is that different?
Because if you have the talent to catch a foul ball, which is traveling usually very far, in your beer, not spill your entire beer while catching it,
then you should chug it.
Of course you should chug it. But okay, if you're just like taking a sip of wine or beer or vodka and the camera catches you, I don't think you take it to the face.
I think you take it to the face. Take it to the max.
Not on my mind.
Do you guys remember
all
the Max from Saved by the Bell? Nope. Okay.
Wait.
You didn't watch
the
Saved by the Max? The place where they used to go. The Max.
Yes, 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 yes.
I watched it, but it's been a long time.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I forgot it was called the Max.
Well, did you watch? We'll stay in 90s pop culture sitcoms references.
90210, the Peach Pit.
They're bringing it back. Well, okay, the Peach Pit, but they're bringing back 90210.
I'm excited.
I'm not.
I'll try it out.
I'm not because Luke Perry is dead.
Well, there's that.
I know. Well, Dylan McKay, how can you not have 90210 with Dylan McKay?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go watch Toy Story 4, and Don Rickles is dead, so.
What does Don Rickles do in that movie?
He was the pig.
And he was also like 100 years old.
I think was he the pig? Or no, maybe he was the potato. I don't know.
Oh,
either way, okay. He was hilarious.
Yes. Well, he is in your genre, old and or dead.
Yes.
And he's
And apparently Tim Conway passed away today. I don't know if you guys know.
I don't know who that is.
I do. Yeah. He was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Tim Conway was hilarious.
But I only knew that because I read it. By the way, Taylor Dahl says she would chug too.
Yes, she would.
Which, wait, does
See,
that
I'm not
mean
surprised.
That she's either...
She's at the party.
That means that she's listening to our show while she's at the party. There's no way.
No, she's probably on her way.
Okay, yeah, there's no way that fun party has helmets and heels.
They should have it.
No, they're going to have the NBA like pre-draft stuff on, and I get they're pre-lottery on. I certainly understand that.
Well, we're more
I'm just saying there's no way she's at this
Taylor, if you're listening,
fun party.
Please ask Hicken to turn one of the TVs to the hockey game and see how that goes over.
Oh,
are you threatening
causing
to go?
Problems? No, I'm not threatening to go. I wasn't invited. I don't show up uninvited.
Oh,
I'm not that
you're
type
not a crusher.
Of person. No,
I think honestly everyone
crusher.
Was invited. I don't think it was a select few.
Oh no, I think were like
yeah, the heels are not
secret invites for sure. So I've been enjoying this milkshake, which is not something that I would recommend if you are trying to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a bikini. But if you are just a regular person that is looking for one, Chubby's offers a very good one. I'm trying the Oreo one or cookies and cream, whatever you want to call it. But Tyra Banks decided that at, how old is she?
Oh, you know what?
47?
Is she that
it
old?
Was it was 25 year?
It's 25-year anniversary. She's 45.
Yeah, so she was on it when she was 25.
They plopped her right on the front of the magazine years. Again. As is, she didn't feel like she had to be super skinny. Right?
I mean, she weighs, I forgot how much she said more.
25 pounds.
25 pounds more, right?
So you can probably add like 10 to that because we all lie about those things.
I mean, I think
I'm honest with my weight. Are you not honest with your weight?
Well, I mean, I always deduct for certain things. Like, I'll get on the scale of the
for
doctor.
What?
I'm like okay, like minus
car?
5 because I... still have my clothes on, and my shoes probably weigh 2.5 pounds a piece. totally like
you don't
eight
take your shoes off.
Well, sometimes I do, and then sometimes I feel like they're like, "Listen, lady, who cares if you have your shoes on or not?" Sometimes
well, I always
do.
Take my shoes
right
off.
Because you want. So that's why if you leave them on, you can do, and you're like, "Oh, I'm like at least 8 to 10 pounds lighter than this thing actually says I am."
So what do you just only weigh yourself when you go to the doctor?
Absolutely. I do not own a scale. Never have.
No,
same.
Mm-mm. Really?
I don't
own a
know
scale.
For what.
I don't know to
no,
have a goal.
You.
I don't know.
Nope. No,
I
you.
Have goals.
Yes, like
has
if these
to
pants are
weight.
Too tight, we got a problem. If they fit, we're okay.
Yeah, the white jeans that I wore yesterday, those are my barometer, and they're an excellent barometer. They either fit or they don't, and I need to shut down the calories.
Yes,
I decided. By the way, I came up with this theme. This has nothing to do with Tyra Banks, by the way. She looks
good
great,
for her. Yes,
and I think she's phenomenal, and I loved her then, and I love the way she is.
I will
she's
say
a
one
curvy
thing.
Model.
I am kind of surprised sports like that the swimsuit issue is still a thing.
Yeah,
like I feel like in 2019, don't guys go wherever they want on the internet to see stuff like that?
But I will say it. I mean, it's a tradition. Like, even our local magazine, Void, they do a swimsuit issue once a year.
Really?
And I enjoy looking at... A lot of times, they'll have bathing suits from local retailers, and so I enjoy looking at them. I may never have purchased a bathing suit because of any magazine, because I'm cheap, but I certainly like looking at them and looking at the style. So I would say, as a female, I enjoy the... I used to love the SI swimsuit magazine. Don't ask me why. I loved it because I wanted to not compare myself, but I wanted to see how gorgeous these women are.
That sounds miserable.
Like Heidi Klum was always in the SI. I think I've always appreciated beautiful women. But anyway,
I appreciate them too. I just don't want to like compare myself to them.
I decided that going to the gym is to make sure you don't gain weight. Mm. But the food and any other calories you put in your body, that is whether or not you're going to lose weight. So don't go to the gym with the mindset like, I'm here and then I can eat whatever I want and things like that. And you're probably not going to lose weight just by going to the gym. You really do have to change your caloric intake. I decided that yesterday morning and I thought it was a very profound statement.
You decided that?
While I was at the gym, I said these words out loud to a girl I was working out with. And I
was
think
it
she
the
looked
nemesis?
At me like I was, it was not.
Okay.
But I think she looked at me like I was a little bit crazy. But don't you think that makes sense? Do you agree with
my
philosophy?
Yeah, but I thought most people knew that.
I mean, not to
discredit this discovery you've made.
I feel discounted.
I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you for coming up with that all by yourself.
I think most people think, well, I'll just start working out and then I'll lose weight. But it doesn't work like that.
The food is a big part of it.
Yes. Muscle weighs so much more than fat.
Which is why I don't weigh myself.
You can't go and like sweat it out and then crush like 3 cheeseburgers. It usually cancels each other out.
But a lot of people say I run or I work out so that I'll eat whatever I want.
Well, if that's your motivation, that's fine. But you can't expect like extreme results.
Right, and you can't expect to lose weight that way.
Yes.
I can't believe neither of you are right now emailing my words to yourself to frame on your wall. For your offices.
I've got an Etsy thing pulled up that I'm going to like create t-shirts for us to wear that say, Lauren Brooks came up with this weight loss plan. Don't expect to lose weight if you eat like crap, even if you work out.
I thought my words were far more prophetic.
They were.
Far-reaching,
yes.
Long-lasting.
I was going to say, stop using these big words.
Okay, get us out of here with Mr. Chubby's.
I will gladly do that. Mr. Chubby's on the west side. We're here for like 8 more minutes or until they kick us out, which might be pretty soon.
Right.
But they have all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights is not only Helmets and Heels, the best night of radio, period, on Tinted XL, if I do say myself, but it's also the best time to be at Chubby's Wings because of the deals you can get. Again, all-you-can-eat wings, 6 to 10 p.m., $7 domestic pitchers, and $3 kids meals. You can barely feed your kids for $3 at home. Why not let somebody else do it and let Mr. Chubby's do that? Again, on the West Side location. We were at the Fleming Island location a couple of weeks ago, and we were so happy to be invited back to this location. So we'll be here for a little bit longer, but they're open late. Come here, watch the Western Conference Finals Game 1 or hockey.
Hockey!
If you're Donna Ballou, Murphy,
that's
the
it.
Third. That's what I want to call
Rick, him. Rick Ballou will have this on, I'm sure. So hopefully he'll give me updates while I drive home.
Because listen to it. Yeah,
that's I can't true. Listen to it. Nope. Yep.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to Mr. Chubby's Wings for having us out once again. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. For our engineer, Chad Scott, for Andrew Gibson and Matt LaVey, who tag-teamed this show back in the headquarters for Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks. I am Lauren Rue. Have a great rest of your evening. Stay tuned for Into the Night with Rick Ballou.